The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome back to a brief but hopefully entertaining episode of Spin the Rally Pod. I'm Lisa O'Sullivan, Colin Clark, George Donaldson and David Evans all alongside me. And for this short episode, we thought we'd have a chat about things on rallies that perhaps have gone wrong but have turned into one of those tales as old as time that we look back on and usually end up having a good laugh about. And I'm going to start first, chaps, because I'm going to take you back to Mexico, way back when. It was the first running of the Rally of Mexico, and I was out reporting and had got my kit, which of course in those days was a phone, a very expensive SIM card for the phone. And a lot of money had been put on this SIM card so that I could go out and stand at the stage end. And I didn't have a car. Colin, you had the car, I think. So I hitched a lift with the legend that is Fred Gallagher, who was working as an official at the stop line. And so he dropped me off. I was allowed to have the lift so long as I provided the picnic for the afternoon. So I'd done a bit of shopping in the supermarket earlier in that day. And I picked up some sun cream, popped that in the basket, picked up some after sun. Thought I'd probably need that after being out on the mountain across the day. And I had an amazing day, I have to say. It was one of those stages where you're on top of the world and you can see the cars coming towards you like roadrunners with a trail of dust flowing off into the distance behind them. It was just brilliant. My problem was, I used every bit of credit we had on the SIM card in about 2.5 minutes, and so spent the rest of the day running up the hill. I started, I think they got me on the radio saying, oh, it's just amazing. The view is just fantastic. I can see this. I can see that. I can see the first car coming to. And that was it. That was all they heard from me for the whole day. And I ran up and down this hill until I realised there was just no way I was going to get a signal across. So I was quite hot and bothered. I'd caught a lot of sun, but I had really excellent picnic that Fred Gallagher and I enjoyed. We had people nearby turned up with an oil drum. They turned it upside down and started cooking tortillas on it. So we had tortillas. We had some guacamole and chili, a couple of drinks. And it was just fantastic. So got back to the hotel, back to the base, and I said, Bex, I'm really sorry. There was just no signal. And she's like, oh, it's all, I can't believe you couldn't find a signal. And then had worked out by that point that there was no credit on the SIM card, so there was no way I was going to be speaking. Anyway, went home, had a lovely sleep. I was very, very hot. So before I went to bed, I made sure I put lots and lots and lots of after sun on. And I put it on everywhere. And when you put it on liberally, you don't rub it in properly. You just put it on everywhere. When I woke up in the morning, I looked like I'd been rolling in mud overnight because I'd managed to buy after sun with bronzing agent in it.
Classic.
Fake tan. And I just looked utterly ridiculous.
And I've the answer.
You look politically incorrect. Incorrect, actually,
absolutely.
Lisa.
No. And every time I did an interview with somebody, they just looked at me and say, what is wrong with you? It was bad.
But I have to say, Lisa, the answer there is just to stay out of the sun. The sun is the enemy.
yeah, David, stay out of the sun and keep your nice woolen sweater on.
Oh, well,
and
exactly.
Your corded trousers.
Exactly. Now, if I could take us to the other extreme I think it was Sweden or Norway, and this is not essentially, for me it certainly wasn't an amusing moment, but it was one of those Swedish rallies where everything seems to go wrong and the hire car seems to spend as much time in the ditch as it and we're digging it out and what have you. We had gone, I can't remember who was there, but there was a crowd of us had walked to the end of a stage or into a stage to go and watch, and we were hurrying. because inevitably we were a little bit late leaving. And there was a shortcut you could take, and it was a proper Swedish, lots of snow, big heavy snowfall. And you could take a shortcut, you could drop down into this valley, walk across and up the other side. So we knew where the stage was, so we decided to do that, and we all hurried along and ran down this thing and across the bottom of the thing. And we were just going across, and I actually remember Anthony Peacock was with us, who now the very famous Pirelli PR man. A man, I have to say, quite terrified of water. And this will become quite apparent momentarily. So I'm charging ahead, leading the way, because I think somebody had made us late and I was a little bit irked. So I was running away. And just as I was walking along, I heard it sounded just like a shotgun. And I stopped long enough to turn and say, did anybody else hear that? When quite literally, the world disappeared from beneath me. And it, I discovered that in the bottom of this valley was actually a river. And because there was such deep snow, of course, I just walked straight across it. And the ice wasn't strong enough to hold my considerable bulk. And through I went.
Oh, my God.
And Anthony, known as Piccolo, was not far behind. And turned and did the quickest runner you have ever seen. Just ran in the opposite direction. And at that point, I was sort of waist deep. And I remembered, I don't know where, probably some Bear Grylls show, that the best idea is to sort of spread yourself out. So I was then like a sort of semi-dead seal, just laying myself out across the ice. And I have to say that the man who saved my life inevitably is a man I've had the odd quarrel with. Step forward, Mr. Richard Rogers, who without hesitation, put his own life on the line, stretched out the arm and hauled me back. And I have to say, you know, I can laugh about it now, but my God, at the time, I thought I was a goner.
Terrified.
And, you know, if I'd gone underneath the ice, then, you know, that would have been the end of that.
You were cold and you were wet. You're not out the woods then either, are you?
No, because we'd walked quite a long way by that point, so we'd then got to walk all the way back. It was very cold. Firstly, don't ever be late for a stage. And secondly, don't ever take a shortcut when you can't see what you're walking on. And thirdly, Piccolo, you're a terrible man. And thank you, Rog.
Good old Rog. He's got a lot to be, we've got a lot to thank him for. George, you know what that reminded me of? That reminded me of our little jet ski safari in Finland all those years ago. Remember that?
Oh, dear.
There was myself, there was you.
300-kilometre jet ski safari.
It was fantastic.
It was
so there
amazing.
Was myself, there was George, there was another
what
fellow
time of year
from
was this?
Subaru in Japan. 2003.
What time of year?
2004.
Oh, straight after
summertime,
the rally.
Just after rally Finland.
So August.
It's the day after Rally Finland, and Jani Tuohino had just finished, I think, in fifth or sixth place. It was a bad year for the Finns, and he was the highest placed Finn. But his manager had this massive, massive power yacht, cruiser, and took us out, didn't he, George,
for
3-day safari on the jet skis. Now,
I'd
the story
it.
I want to tell, George, I'm going to let you get to the story in a minute, because the story I want to tell, joining us on this jet ski safari was the legendary Subaru, I don't know what he was. At one point, he was the manufacturer principal, Toshi Azuma. Now, Toshi Azuma was a very, very entertaining character. So anyway, George managed to annoy Toshi very, very early on because we had a rule. We had a rule, and the rule was no cutting in front of anyone, no creating big wakes, basically no hooning around. And it took George 5 minutes to start hooning around. And Toshi was really, really, really upset by this. And
we were
running at night.
That's why the rule was there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you had to leave
20 metres between each jet ski.
That's right. Which you found impossible to adhere to, George. So that evening, we get back to the chalet or the boat that we were staying on. And Toshi was in a real mood. And we couldn't quite work out why. Yeah, George had been a bit George-like and a little bit silly.
It was a rage. Let's be honest. He was in a rage.
He was in a rage, and he said some fairly nasty things. But anyway, so we go out the next day. And we have a morning jet skiing, and we're heading into lunch, and it's one of these little lakeside villages, and they've got little parking places for your jet skis. So they're little V-shaped rubber parking places, and you run your jet ski up, onto the rubber matting and park your jet ski, go off to the cafe, have a cup of coffee. So Georgie boy, as always, first one up, bang, full throttle, right up, slap bang centre of the parking spot, jumps off going, that's the way to do it, boys. So I come in next, and then Toshi Azuma was third. So he comes along a little bit too tentatively and only just manages to get the nose of his jet ski into the parking spot and then tries to dismount from his jet ski and gets stranded. One leg on the ground, one leg still on his jet ski, and the jet ski's floating back out. So you can imagine he's beginning to do the splits. Beginning to do the splits. And the look of sheer panic on his face. I mean,
he can't swim.
Well, George, that's the story. So I'm watching, and quick as a flash, George jumps in, grabs hold of Toshi, and pulls him onto the shore. And he takes a second or two, and he goes, Georgie-san, you saved my life, Georgie-san. And I'm thinking, nah, he's just stopped him from getting wet. He goes, no, Georgie-san. Georgie-san, I know swim! I know swim! And we're thinking, you've just done 200 kilometres on a jet ski, some of it at night, and you can't swim! So instantly, George went from absolute villain to absolute hero. And it was, George, that was one of my earliest memories. That was still when I worked for 555. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the reason that Toshi had been so annoyed with me the night before was he'd got splashed. So he'd got wet on a jet ski, and that annoyed him, honestly. It didn't seem reasonable to the rest of us.
You made me wet, Georgie-san. You made me wet.
Just to be clear here, Colin is available for all sorts of accents, clearly.
Thank you, David. Happy days.
Is it my turn? Well, Lisa, you reminded me earlier of one of my radio exploits that when I was dipping in and out of the radio, blessed to be working with yourselves in Sardinia. And it was my first time I'd been to that part of Sardinia, up on top of a stage finish. And it was very, very majestic. And I was always given to explaining my surroundings in juiciest terms I could. And this place, for the life of me, it looked like the top of Los Gigantes, up in Argentina, up at 2,000 metres. And it was very, very similar. All the rock structures looked very similar. I've taken photographs of it, and I've got comparable photographs, and it looks the same. So I was waxing lyrical about this, and I think it was either Lisa or Bex was saying, I don't believe you, George, it's a load of nonsense. And I'd very arrogantly said, well, we'll check with the drivers. When it came to the later drivers, and there's less to discuss with them, I'll ask some of them. So I started to ask the later drivers, and this was all the PWRC drivers, and there was a lot at that time, 15 of them. So we checked how everything was going. They were all very friendly, it was all very collegial. I worked with them all at that time and did all the tests for them and everything. So we had a great relationship. And I said to the first one, I think it was probably Nasser Alatia, Nasser, does this place remind you of anywhere? And he said, oh, yeah, it's a little bit like Jordan. Oh, okay. I was convinced this was identical. You could have been in Argentina. You could have been actually at the end of the Julio Cesare stage, you know, the big rockery climb up. It was amazing. And this went on, and eventually it came. So I was getting more and more frustrated, and Lisa, of course, was being harder and harder on me in the intervening times. And I was getting riddled with ridicule all the way through. And then finally I said, it's okay, when Marcus Legato, the Argentine driver, arrives, he'll put everything to bed. He said, yeah, he would agree this looked like it. So he came to the end of the stage and I said, Marcus, does this place remind you of your home area at all? And I was trying to give him all the sort of leads into it at all. And Lisa, you can say what Marcus Legato said.
I think I'm just going to play it.
Good morning. I'm no longer in Sardinia, I have to tell you. I'm now speaking to you from Argentina. The Julio Cesare stage. It's exactly like that, Bex. I could be here. If you blinked, you would say you were in Argentina. It's amazing.
Well, good morning. Does the view here remind you of anywhere else in the world?
You remind me Wales. That was actually, quite frankly, a disappointing response.
I could tell you were disappointed, George. It didn't really go quite to your plan then, did it?
I've got one Mikko Hirvonen with me.
Yes,
good to hear that. It reminds me of Julio Cesare stage in Argentina. What do you think?
Oh, it's really nice. Yeah.
I was looking for someone to echo my thoughts. Yeah, sorry.
I'm not sure he agrees with you, George.
This is Carl Kruder.
This stage was very tricky. Very hard to drive up very fast for the first time. It's like you're back in Jordan, you can't see anything. You cannot see.
Very wise, Luke. Carry on, and there we got a comparison now with the stages in Jordan, Bex. I'm getting a bit concerned now.
Jordan, Argentina, and Wales. Really?
Yep.
All on one Sardinian stage?
Yep.
Legato now just 16.4 behind Valerio Gorban in second position, George.
Yes. Quite similar, yeah. Yes. But it's faster, no?
Fantastic. Thank you for that. He didn't sound too convinced that I was right. Damn, that was my big chance, Bex. That was my big chance.
You blew it, George. The only Argentinian here, it was he was a bit like, nah, not really. George, let it go. Let it go, George.
I've let it go. What do you think this stage looks like? Is it a little bit like Argentina?
I think it's a little bit like Jordan, really.
Thank you. Okay, I'm not going to let it go, but bloody Jordan. Good God. Good God. Does the scenery remind you of any other rally?
Very good weather for rally.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Didn't quite get that translation that far, Bex. But I thought I'd give it one last throw of the dice there, Bex. Sorry.
One last roll of the dice to try and get someone to say, well, actually, George, it looks like the Julio Cesare stage in Argentina. But no.
I was devastated. I've never been so... Not one person backed me up.
The
miserable
timing
people
was
with
perfect.
No, it was perfect. I set myself up for that beautifully. If I'd been professional, it couldn't have been any better. I hasten to add I wasn't.
None of us.
There we go.
None of us have been.
Yeah. Anyway, that was my. But I never gave up that. I kept trying.
That's entertaining.
This does have to be a short one, does it? Because we've got 100. But really? Oh, right. No, I tell you what. Let's save the next one because there's a whole heap of Lancia ones that have just come to mind. But they deserve a podcast of their own.
Right. Well, that's indeed what we will do on the next one because I think we all need a laugh, and that has actually exercised my chuckle muscle spectacularly. And I haven't heard some of those before either, so they're even more funny. This is the Spin the Rally Pod. I'm Lisa, George Donaldson, David Evans and Colin Clark. We will be here to keep you entertained, so subscribe. And if you have any suggestions or you want to ask the boys, the experts, any questions, just ping us something over at Dirtfish and we'll try to keep you entertained in these testing times. See you later, lads.
See you, Lise.
See you, Lise.
Cheers, Lise.